talking about the wise life that we find in the person of Christ Jesus. And for the last couple of days, I have sat in a financial conference, long hours, okay? Nothing spiritual about it, just interested, something I kind of decided I was going to do. And there I was in the Adams Mark Hotel with hundreds of Buffalonians all around me and a multi-millionaire speaking to us, talking about all the wise ways that the world has to offer on how we can have freedom and security and power over our lives. And the question that keeps on saying, what are you here for? Freedom. What are we here for? Security. And all the people in this group, I felt like I was sitting there all by myself. Because I'm like, you think you're going to get what we've been talking about, right? Verse 32 and 33 in Proverbs 1 says, if you are of the wisdom of God, then security and freedom. They were using the same exact words, but they were putting wealth as the precursor towards freedom and security. Where God says, freedom and security are the fruit of your lives when you walk in wisdom. They're taking the thing that God says is the fruit, the end game, the thing that you're shooting for, and they're making it the root. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about root and fruit today. Proverbs chapter 2 talks about that. It talks about roots and fruits. And I know that's not necessarily the proper way of saying that, but just for the way it sounds, I just thought it sounded neat. Roots and fruits. And we talk about the fact that the world and its skewed perception of wisdom will take things that God says comes only when you follow my ways, and they will make it the crux of the matter. The thing that they will try to spring out of. The thing that they will try to develop all their life around. What a travesty. And I sat in that class for hour after hour. It was a long, long weekend. I'm actually still going back to it today for some reason. And, you know, there's much to learn. Don't get me wrong. There's much to learn. There's some principles and perspectives that are interesting and intriguing. But if you don't filter it through the eyes of God, what a travesty. What a life of recklessness. And we have propped up these people, these millionaires and these billionaires and these people that we prop up as demigods in our midst. At church, we prop up these pastors and these teachers and these people who have gone before us as demigods in our midst. And instead of looking and searching, as the Proverbs 2 is going to tell us to do, to work it out and to strive for it, to listen and to call out for it, instead of working towards the wisdom of God that he has there for us, we would rather turn our attention to the ways of the world and die for it. And the church is in tough shape today because so much of our perception has not been filtered through the Word of God, but rather has been filtered through the eyes of man and the perceptions of man. And so we look at the ways of the world as though logically the way the rest of the world does, instead of taking those glasses that I told the kids to put on today and to look through the eyes of power and perception that God wants to give to us. Let's pray. Father God, speaking of your word, we pray that you would grow us. We pray that you would anoint our ears and our minds, our hearts, Lord God. May they be softened towards you. And let the listening ears that will hear, let them hear. Oh God, let me be first. That Lord Jesus, that you will undo that which has been traditionally and thoroughly washed into my mind by this world and the perceptions of this world, that you'd wash it out. And you'd make me soften to the things of your word and your truth, oh God. that I may walk wisely according to your ways and in your favor, O God, and not the ways of this world. I pray this in your name. Amen. The world is full of smart people. I understand that this weekend, maybe more than that. There's a lot of schemes. There's a lot of great systems. And when I say schemes, I'm not talking negatively. But they are not necessarily according to the ways and wisdom of God. Let me show you the wisdom of our God. Okay, just put that to the next slide then, because this is not apparently working. Okay. So here we are last night at around 6 o'clock at one of our main prongs, our mission prongs, University of Buffalo. And there we were set up, and there's Mr. Chip in there, and Jason, and my father, and hundreds of students from the University of Buffalo, mostly Indian, but some other nationalities in there as well, came to hear a very brief word of the Lord coming from Don Manta, and then a love feast, if you will. As you have poured brownies into their lives, I want to thank you for the thousands of brownies. I asked for 400, I got like thousands. It was by the tonnage, I think, that we carried those things into. But we had burgers and we had brownies and we had beans, and all you guys did a great job. They were truly responding to the love of God, the smiles and the gratitude that came from those students. We had some amazing conversations. My father, Jason, myself, Lisa, lots of us who got to speak with these students. And just the appreciation and the gratitude for this, the outpouring of love, and the question of why in the world would you do that? In the wisdom of the world, that doesn't make sense. All right, this is annoying me. So just go ahead and flip through that next few slides there. There we go, we got that's Baird Point, and you can see where the people have been gathered around. The wisdom of the world, next slide. This doesn't make sense. Why would we set up games and food and other things for this event? There's really no reason that makes logical sense to the wisdom of the world. Next slide. Next slide. There's Val. She came out. Give it. Next slide. And as we look at the wise life, we have to say that the perceptions of God, the perspective of God, is not the same as the perspective of man. I hope that's obvious at this point. Because we don't minister to the prongs because it makes sense. In fact, there are churches that are 10 times the size of this congregation that don't touch anywhere near the number of people that our congregation does. I tell you the truth. Many, many churches are so very self-focused and introverted that they will never even consider to have prongs like Jamestown or University of Buffalo or Willow Ridge. They're so involved in themselves. They have forsaken the true perspective of God's big view, big picture. And they have forsaken the call of wisdom upon their lives as a church. But see, mission and ministry may not make logical sense in the eyes of the world, but it makes dear and deep sense to the mind and heart of God. So as we look at Proverbs 2, keep that in mind. My son, my daughter, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listen closely to wisdom and directing your heart to understanding. Furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Notice that. And discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. I'll say that again. The Lord gives wisdom. Wisdom is a beautiful gift from God. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up success for the upright. He is a shield for those who live with integrity, so that he may guard the paths of justice and protect the way of his loyal followers. Then you will understand the righteousness, justice, and integrity. Every good path for wisdom will enter your mind, and knowledge will delight your heart. Discretion will watch over you, and understanding will guard you, rescuing you from the way of evil, from the one who says perverse things, and from those who abandon the right paths to walk in the ways of darkness, from those who enjoy doing evil and celebrate perversion, whose paths are crooked and whose ways are devious. It will rescue you from a forbidden woman, from a stranger with her flattering talk, who abandons the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her ways to the land of the departed spirits. None return who go to her. None reach the paths of life. So follow the way of good people and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those of integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land. Next slide. Next slide. So we're talking about roots and fruits. And it's important for us as the people of God to get the horse and the cart in the right place. You don't develop fruit out of thin air. Any horticulturist, any farmer will tell you, fruit just doesn't start falling from the air. You have to nurture the root of it in order to get the fruit of it. And what the world will say is if we can have at the root of the issue, if we can build wealth for ourselves, then the fruit of that is security and freedom and happiness and all these things. And God says, bring it back. I want to renegotiate the terms here. I want you to understand the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is the root of who I am is embodied in wisdom and in truth and in the fear of the Lord. We've talked about the fear of the Lord as being the reverent, faithful worship of our God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We see here in the scripture now that what was said and what was established in Proverbs chapter 1 is going to be in many ways reiterated, but more explicit. The person of God and the way that he actually acts out in our lives is more explicit in chapter 2. What was perhaps inferred in chapter 1 is more explicitly depicted now in chapter 2. Because at very least, you can look at verse 6 in chapter 2, and you can see the act and the hand of God as it pertains to wisdom. But look at verse 1. My son, if you accept my words, you have this if and then form to this proverb, this chapter. You have if, you have this, then. Mathematics, we know that there's some kind of formula there. That it only follows when the if is produced. When if happens, then this is the result. And so we have the if. And what are the ifs? Lots of ifs here. If, my son, you accept my words. If you listen closely. If you store my commands within you. If you direct your heart to understanding, if you call out to insight, if you lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver, if you search for it like hidden treasure. My goodness, this sounds like a lot of work that must be done. But praise be to God, this if comes out of the very roots that have already been established. The roots that are established within us is that percolate up from within us is the very fear of the Lord, our worshipful existence in God. And out of God within us, within those roots, then the work becomes our nature, not something we have to self-make and produce. The roots of a godly person produce fruit of a godly person. Jesus says this so many times, but very explicitly, where he says that you don't get a good fruit from a bad tree. The nature of a good tree produces good fruit. I have a wonderful crop, or I used to have a wonderful crop of grapes that the birds have now they've really enjoyed. Okay? The crop of grapes has been like never before. Been a great summer. A great crop of a garden this year. Just a great, why? Because everything that the roots needed was there. All the photosynthesis, all the great watering, all that heat that just warms up the soil, everything that those roots needed was there to produce the fruit. When we are worshipers in reverent faithfulness, out of that comes the desire to do good. And that's more and more what this proverb is about. When you get on to talking about the delight, and we've talked about this most recently in talking about Psalms, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Think about the root and who is Solomon getting his stuff from? We know Psalm chapter 1, right? Let's go to the next slide. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who does not, three things, right? Walk, stand, and sit. Walk in the paths of the ungodly, stand in the paths of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers. Blessed is the man, thriving, multiplying, joy-filled is the man, if we can say that, right? Is that too much for me? Is that too much putting into there? No. God is calling us to a thriving, multiplying. What else does a tree do than thrive and multiply, produce? That is what we are called. Blessed is the man who does not walk according to the ways of the fool, the mocker, the simpleton, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night in the law of the Lord. Remember, we are talking about being people of the Word. And people of the Word have a certain power and perspective that this world will never understand. So as I sit there in that class, I don't feel aloof. I don't feel over everybody. I think that I sit there and I'm devastated by the untruth that is coming through, the inferences that are being made. And a bunch of people who are, honestly, they're on a path of destruction because they are placing wealth at their very root, and it is going to lead to destruction. It's going to lead to destruction of families. It's going to ultimately lead to hell and everything in between there, between now and then. But the truth of the word is that when you put the fear of the God, a fear of the Lord, at the very root of who we are, then God springs up great and what is really supernatural works. Planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. If Solomon didn't hear his father's words, it sure sounds like he's taking it almost word for word throughout these first couple of Proverbs, these couple of chapters. He is talking about the fruitfulness of walking in the way of the wise. And he's talking about the detriment of walking in the way of the fool. The wicked are not so, for they're like chaff which the wind drives away. The wicked will not stand in the presence of the righteous. And it goes on to say how the wicked will fade away, but the way of the righteous will live forever. I set before you, as we talked about last week, Deuteronomy 29, 30, 31. I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. Proverbs chapter 1 looks at this from one perspective and says, listen, if you don't follow the ways of life, death awaits you. Chapter 2 goes and says, now let me tell you what it looks like when you do live by the acts of truth and life. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Now, we go on to the next one there. We have a root called the fear of the Lord. And as we go on from here, we look at the protective nature that God has for his people. This is the very root, the security and freedom that is talked about at the end of chapter 1 is really the thing that we found our lives on. The fear of the Lord and the security and freedom that is found in the fear of the Lord, those are the things that we can grow out of. As we find ourselves protected by the person of God, as we see ourselves grounded deeply in the Word of God, then you're going to see the blessing of God come out of us in the blessings and the fruitfulness of His Spirit. For the Lord gives wisdom, verse 6, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up success for the upright. Now, I was around a lot of people yesterday who had a really difficult time understanding what God's perspective of success looks like. To them, success means a successful business, a successful person that can occupy their time, or perhaps they're in luxury, but their businesses keep on going and passively produce all this income for them, millions upon millions of dollars that can, and there's nothing, I'm not saying that derogatorily, okay? There is a benefit to wealth, and the Bible speaks well of being frugal in your wealth. But never, ever will you ever see the Bible promote wealth as being the place where your foundation lies, where your security and freedom lies. That is a lie that this earth, this land has sold us. And the church has, quite honestly, bought into it wholesale and fervently. But he says, the fear of the Lord, out of that comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up, listen to these benefits, these great things that God has in store, the store of success. And what does the success of a fruitful believer look like? Well, we'll get into that in a second here. Listen to this. He is a shield for those who live in integrity. There's your security. The person of integrity. Oftentimes the world looks at a person of integrity, a person of godly purpose, and they say, what a pansy that person is. What, he can't even stand up for himself, or he won't go out and try to get. And so he becomes lower. Interesting, just as our master Jesus did, becomes lower and lower and lower, has become the servant of all. The world sees this and looks at it as being the lack of success. God says, out of your fearful, reverent worship of me, I will lift you up in a very different way than the world is looking for. Perhaps it might be some financial gain, perhaps. But that's not the point. My point is that you will have success welling up from within you. Because of who you are in integrity, God will allow your success in your favor with God and man to rise, and then He will secure it. He will protect you. What do we want? Freedom! What do we want? Security! When do we want it? Now! It's all that they talked about yesterday, and yet they're seeking in the wrong place. They're not calling out for wisdom. They're calling out for a scheme or a system of man in order to accomplish wisdom that is supposed to produce a fruit that is what? Freedom and security. And God says, wait a minute. Reverse order. Fear of the Lord. Security and freedom in that, and out of that comes the outflow and the greatness of your lives. God says, I will protect you. I will give you success, and then I will protect your success. And out of that, we can have confidence and courage. When you think about the greatest Bible stories that you remember from childhood, what are they? Some of you tell me. Somebody, come on. David and Goliath, great one, right? 1 Samuel 17. Daniel and the lion's den. Okay, great. Anything else? Joshua, Jericho, beautiful. Any others from childhood that anybody was in Sunday school? All right. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A lot of these we've talked about recently. But listen, think about what stirs us. What stirs us as people of God when we look at those stories? It's the courage of those men. Where did that come from? That wasn't something that they just reached out for one day. It was just a fruit on the tree. No, it was the foundation of who they were in their gut, in the very foundations of who they were. And God protected that and kept them from the corruption of the world. Can you not see that in Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in Daniel's life? Where did they get the gumption to forsake the food? Now, we talked about this a few weeks ago. It is definitely from the foundations of their tradition and what they had been born in and grown up through. But how did that remain in the people of God? How did David have the gumption to stand up and said, that giant, he's speaking against my God. How dare he? Give me a sword. I'll take him. Where does he get that? Because in the very foundation of who he was, and the very security and the truth of who he was, it came out of him. And the fruit of that was success in battle. The fruit of that was success in the fiery furnace, in the lion's den, at Jericho. We can see them as these great victories, right? Well, the victories are the fruit of success that came out of who God was in their lives, in their very bowels, and the very foundation of who they were. Listen to me. If you don't have the security of God and the confidence in Him, the freedom and security that comes from deep down inside, if that's not part of who you are, don't expect the fruit of your life to be favor and flourishing in successes. That's not something you can make up by adding to yourself wealth. Wealth is fleeting. In fact, it's very fleeting when you draw your last breath. Successes in this world, in the world's perspective, is fleeting. But God says, if you draw your successes from who I am, my wisdom within you, I will protect you. I will give you security. That should be the foundation of who we are, so that you may that He may guard the paths of justice and protect the way of His holy followers. We've talked about this in the last weeks, and how the concepts of justice, integrity, seeking out the poor and the needy, and seeking out how to bring justice to a corrupted and unjust world. You're going to hear this over and over again within the second proverb. For wisdom will enter your mind, verse 10, and knowledge will delight your heart. Listen to that. Wisdom will enter your mind. It will captivate your mind. It will transform your mind, and knowledge will delight your heart. The delight of my heart is what? Ask yourself that question today. The delight of my heart is dot, 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 fill in the blank. The delight of my heart is free time, luxury, time away from work, time away from my kids, time away from the church. Well, what is the delight of your heart? I watched people last night, we talked even this morning, of people whose delight was in the fact that they could pour out the fruit of their lives into the lives of international students yesterday. And see, we can look at, where does that come from? And the students are asking, where does that come from? It's not the wisdom of the world that brings that about. It is the very foundation of security and truth in our very being, our very depths, that comes out of us as the fruit of compassion, the fruit of generosity, the fruit of love, the fruit of patience. You want ketchup on that? Do you want ketchup on that? Do you want ketchup on that? Patience, hundreds and hundreds of times. I said that last night. Where does that come from? It's not me, because I don't really care about ketchup on your burger. Oh, I didn't want that on the burger. I want it on the side of the burger. I don't really care in my nature, in my flesh. I don't care. But you know what? The peace and the patience of God subtracts me from the equation and says, oh, I'm so sorry. Let me get you another. Let me produce something that will bless you. Where does that come from? It is not me. It is God within me, the hope of glory that transforms my mind, gives me a different perspective on life. Then you will understand righteousness and justice. Do we recognize James chapter 1 in this? We've talked about this recently as well. If anyone, verse 26, if anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, then his religion is useless and he deceives himself. That in itself should cause us to halt. If we cannot control our tongues and the way that we deal with people, it speaks to our wisdom. It speaks to our foundations. It speaks to the person we are deep within us. It speaks to me and the person I am deep within me. And when I err in the way that I speak, it speaks to where I am right at that moment. Pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. See, the problem is that there are probably other Christians within our group yesterday. Maybe they were riled as much as I was, but in many cases, people from believing backgrounds will be in a place like I was in the last couple days, and they will just take it all in. No filter, no scriptural filter. We've kind of just been in church. We've never really delved deeply into the Word of God, and so when things like that are thrown at us, we are defiled, we are corrupted. We are skewed in our perceptions, and our church is less for it. The power and the influence of the church is less for it. We have this watered-down gospel that has been instead bubbling up within us. Just watered down, and it comes out, and we forget about the fact that hell is a real destination for those who are foolish and slap away the hand of God's wisdom. Hell is real, and so is heaven. And God desires to take us and to transform our hearts and to have relationship with us and to bring us into His presence here on this earth. And then ultimately, when we pass out of these shells into the true people that we are in our spirits, and we stand before Him, we have the opportunity to stand before Him righteously and enter into an eternity with our God. But we have watered it down. And as we talked about in our class this morning, the world is not better for our lack of power. The world is not better for the church's watering down of the gospel in our lives. The church is not better when we decide that we're just going to let a little of this go. A little leaven leavens the whole loaf. And before long, the corruption of just a little tiny bit gets into the framework of all that we are. The pure and undefiled religion is this: that we take care of the widows and the orphans, and we keep ourselves undefiled, uncorrupted, unstained is another word there, from this world. Do you see that as we look down through Proverbs? He is talking about the same very thing. He is talking about us having discernment for injustice. And when we see injustice, that we speak to it. When we see unborn children dying by the thousands, we can't help but stand up and say, by God's grace, will you stop? This is not righteous before our God. It's when we see young ladies being taken into slavery and as sex slaves and all kinds of other garbage that's going on in this world. And we're not, as a watered-down church, we're not willing to stand up. We see the persecuted church getting their heads cut off, and we just shake our fingers. And we look at ISIS, and we look at them as the enemy, as those pagan enemies, instead of standing up for justice in their midst and praying for righteousness for them and praying for transformed hearts. How dare we as a church wag our fingers at the pagans who know no better, and yet we don't even pray a moment for them, while the persecuted church that you have an opportunity next Tuesday to look in on, that persecuted church, you know what they do with their time when they're not being persecuted, and even in the midst of persecution, they pray on their knees for their offenders. That does not make any worldly wisdom. That makes no sense to the world. Bomb them, shoot them, dispatch them, whichever way, kick them out, kick them in, whatever it takes. That's the world's wisdom. And God's wisdom says, I am different than that. You are supposed to take your enemies and you're supposed to cast upon them the burning coals. And that's a comfort of coals. That's not a harsh judgment upon them. You're supposed to bring them comfort in the midst. You're supposed to bless them when they curse you. Or else that whole thing in Romans doesn't make any sense if you start looking and thinking that God is calling us to cast heat and hurt upon enemy. That's not what that's talking about. We are to love them and as Jesus loved us as when we are enemies of the cross. But the injustice rings out from the bowels of those of us who are in Christ and have the security in the passions of Christ coming out of us. For wisdom will enter your mind, and knowledge will delight your heart. Discretion will watch over you, and understanding will guard you, rescuing you from the way. Do you see the protection, the rescuing, the saving that is constantly being put into this section of Scripture? This is a foundational thing. You can rest assured because when you are a person of integrity, a man and a woman that seeks out the truth of God and seeks it out and calls out for it, when we work and allow the Spirit of God to work within us, it transforms our fruitfulness. Go to the next one, please. Because now we're talking about the fruit and the bearing in season. We are responsible. We are responsible for wise action as the people of God. That's what the rest of this is talking about. What comes out of one who has been founded deeply with the fear of the Lord, the reverent, faithful worship of God, and the security and confidence and courage in God? What comes out of a person like that? Justice. Discretion. For those who abandon rescuing you from the way of evil. This is talking about the way we respond now, the way we act. Let's go back to verse 11, read down. Discretion will watch over you. The understanding between right and wrong will watch over you. That's a part of wisdom. Understanding will guard you. Again, rescuing you from the way of evil, from the one who says perverse things. Those who abandon the right paths to walk in ways of darkness, from those who enjoy doing evil and celebrate perversion. It's a callback to Proverbs chapter 1, where it's talking about this unwise person who has been allowing themselves to go in the ways of the violent, corrupted person. It will rescue you, verse 16, from the forbidden woman, from a stranger. We're going to talk next week a little bit more about what does it look like to have a good man, a good woman in your life? Right. That's how we're going to, that's not all about that next week, but that's a good part of it. Because as you get down through here, you're going to see that wise action has to do with our relationships. Our relationship with God and our relationship with man. And that's really what these things that we're talking about here, all through this last part of this Proverbs is referring to. It will rescue you from a forbidden woman. That's a harlot. It's a person who is, and it doesn't have to be a woman who or a man who has that as a profession. as a person who is tempting you down a certain road. But it certainly is talking about sexual behavior as well. From a stranger, it's not somebody necessarily who is like a foreigner or something like that, a stranger, somebody who is different than your thought process. As a wise person, you encounter this person, and it's strange. But her flattering talk can sometimes trip you up. His flattering talk can trip you up, young ladies, who abandons their companion of her youth. That means her husband abandons her husband in order to promote herself and forgets the covenant of her God. For the house, her house sinks down to death and her ways to the land of the departed spirits. There is destruction. There is death. We can see this over and over again throughout the scriptures, particularly through Proverbs. We are beckoned by God to avoid these things at all costs because his wisdom is better than the wisdom of the world. And the wisdom of the world, you'll see it in your television shows and in your movies, and my children who are sitting here, watch your eyes, watch your minds, youth, young adults, old adults, everybody in between, watch our minds, watch our hearts, watch what goes in. Because the world will sell you a bill of goods that is not worth the value that they're saying it is. They will tell you that your relationships have nothing to do with your faith. They will say that your relationships, you can do anything you want with them because you are a person of freedom. You are a person of security. You are a made person all by yourself. And God says, pull it back. People of God, people of the Word, that is not you. That should be disdainable to you. That should be perverse to you. And when you see it, it should be going through a filter of the gospel of Christ. Run from that. Avoid that at all costs. That is not cute. That is not romantic. That is not okay. The things that we see, the perversities that we see on TV. And that goes down to the simple point of man A, who is not married to woman B, and sleeping together and being in the same bed together when they wake up. I don't care how much it's inferred. I don't care how explicit it is. It's wrong. And so we as a church, we don't allow that little, that to go through the filter. We think that's okay. And we've come down such a road where you can't even turn on a television show, period, or a movie, period, without that going on. And somehow we just say, it's okay. And we don't talk about it. Well, we need to talk about it. Avoid it at all costs. The flattering tongue that draws you in and seduces you is the same as the violent man on the street, is the same as the woman who is trying to seduce you in the road as well. It is the same voice. It is a voice of destruction. It is a perversion of God's truth. It is a perversion of what God wants for you. It will destroy you ultimately and will drag you right down to hell. That's what he says. Who abandons her companion of the youth and forgets her covenant of the God, for her house sinks down to death and her ways to the land of the departed spirits. We are responsible for our lives. The next one, last one. Relationship with God and man. These are the fruit. Good relationship with God and man is the fruit of having a core, a foundation that is firmly planted in the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge. This is the fruit of being in Christ. It looks totally different from the world, I understand. Most of this will. Perhaps all of this will. The wisdom of the world we talked about last week. Where is the wisdom of this world? But the foolishness of God is wiser than the greatest wisdom of man. And the weakness of God is more powerful than the power of man. If you want to have power and perspective to avoid the seducer, the tempter, grab a hold of wisdom. Grab a hold of the person of wisdom. Don't let another day go by and you slap the hand of wisdom away. If you are in this room and you have not taken upon yourself the responsibility for yourself to say yes to the person of Jesus Christ in your life, don't let another day go by. Seek him as silver. Chase after him. Call after him. He's there. You don't have to call along. He's there. You seek him, he's there. He embraces you. The person, we're talking about Jesus Christ here, the person of wisdom that resides within me, that secures me by his very blood, at least was talking about the blood of Christ that is shed at the cross. It has washed me clean. It has created in me a pure heart, a clean heart for all of my life. It makes me to stand securely in him. It gives me an opportunity to be the person of Christ, the person of wisdom that I was called to be in the first place. Look what it says. Let's finish it up. So follow the way of good people. I pray that around me in this place today, we are filled with good people, and that in the weeks to come, that we are filled with more and more. You know, those people out there at UB, completely untouched by the gospel of Christ, for all I know. They are pre-Christians. They are people who are to be in Christ. They are called to Christ. Let's bring them. Let us be the people who show forth the grace and glory and Spirit of God so that it stirs up within them and allows the Spirit of God to do its work within them. If they show up here, fine. If they don't, let's go to them. Let's send out our missionary, Jason Bean, and empower him and come around him and allow him to be in their midst. But there's a whole school out there, thousands, 30,000 plus students. They're not just international. There's all kinds of students out there that need Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying reach them so we can fill up our pews. What I'm saying is if our pews aren't being filled up, we're not doing a great job of being effective influencers for the cause of Christ. There are people in your workplace that need Jesus Christ. There are people in my path every day. If it's not been true to me in my mind thus far, the last 2 days is pretty clear. And I've had the opportunity to share with some people that I was sitting next to. Oh, what do you do? It's amazing the conversation that comes out when I tell them that in that situation, I'm a pastor. They're like, what? You know, didn't expect that. They didn't see that one coming. What are you doing in a place like this? And it's not that it's so evil. It's just that they don't expect it. They just don't expect that somebody would to even be interested in such things. But if we don't get ourselves into places where people are out mingling around, like UB, like Willow Ridge, like places that we're going to church plant, like in Wheatfield and such, how are we ever going to rub against them the salt of Christ in our lives? We are called to be influencers. This wisdom is not just within us so that we can stand aloof and stand apart from people, but that we are around good people and to keep the paths of righteousness, but to open up those paths to those who don't know better. The simple person, we are filled, hundreds of simple people. Smart as they were from all across the world, they were simple in the Spirit of God and in the ways of God. And it is our life that must spill into them to share with them the truth of God. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those of integrity will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land and the treacherous uprooted from it. As much as we desire to build up this rootedness in Christ, this foundation of the fear of the Lord within us and within our children, within our body of Christ, just understand the opposite. When we do not live out the wisdom of Christ in our lives, the world is being uprooted and thrown into the fire. They are being cut off day by day. Open up your obituaries. At that pace, people are passing into eternity across this world, perhaps faster. And every time that happens, every snap is another person passing into eternity. It might not be in Buffalo, but it might be. It might be wherever we are. In Florida, as you go, our brother Andrew left just a couple nights ago. Wherever we may go, as the people of God, as the people of His Word, people are passing from this life into eternity. And if we don't share the wisdom, the truth, and the love of God, where's their hope? How will they come if they don't hear? And how will they hear if we don't open up our mouths and pour forth the wisdom of God that has been in us? Some of us, it's been in us for a long time. It's been rooted there, and it's grown dormant. Today is the day. Let it grow forth. Let it spur out of us. Let us be the life-giving, wisdom-giving people of God that we have been called to be. To His great glory, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we, Your people, are called by Your name, a peculiar people, Lord God, we understand. For by You, we are changed, we are transformed, and we are different. But Lord God, we desire for that difference and that truth to ring out of us and into this world. Lord God, I pray for UB today. I pray for those students that were touched, that were met there in that park setting around Baird Point. I pray for ISI. I pray for Jason and his ministry. I pray for others, Lord God, who are all over that campus, Lord Jesus, in our varsity, and others, Lord God, that descend upon that place, have their ministry upon that place. Lord God, I pray that You will use them, but Lord God, empower us. Give us courage to be a part of that as well, whatever that means. I pray for Willow Ridge today, Lord God, that You will pour forth from this place. Lord God, there are so many in need in our midst, right here at Willow Ridge. Those of us who live here, Lord God, that we may be salt and light to our neighbors to the left and the right and around behind. Pray for Pepper Tree, Lord God, and for this home right across our driveway, and for other places, Lord God, that are a mass of people. Now, Lord God, that they need to hear of You. They need to know the kindness and the grace and the truth of God. I pray, Lord God, for the Nepali people and for those in India that even today that Chad is working with, Krista and his family, Lord God. I pray for Nepalis here right in Buffalo and for the great outreach, Lord God. May their hearts not only be transformed but be steadfast and firm and pouring forth the grace of God as well. And I pray for our church plants, Lord God. What's going on in Wheatfield, Lord God, even now, cultivate the land. I pray for Jamestown, even now, Lord God, continue to cultivate that land, that Your grace and Your peace and Your truth would ring out, and that the wisdom of God that comes out of Your people, Lord God, would bring hope and truth, and ultimately, God, Your salvation into their lives. We pray this in Your name and by Your power. Amen.